Hello and welcome back to another episode of Horribly Happy. I'm your host, Jenna.
And I'm your host, Sophie.
We're back. Sophie, why do you always laugh at me when I say the intro?
Well, I was laughing at him because I was taking a sip of water. But I do always laugh. I don't know.
It's like it's so formal. All of a sudden I just like switch on.
Yeah, because you actually don't really give me like a heads up. Okay, like, okay, I'm going to start. You're just kind of like, okay, like, let's get things going. And then we kind of like putts, get things ready. And then all of a sudden you're just like,
hello and welcome back.
Yeah.
That's funny. Well, awesome. We just came off of Labor Day weekend. We had some time to rest and relax, each of us at our family's cabin. Yeah. So if you want to talk about your weekend, any exciting things happening at the Harris Lake residence?
Well, first, I had a wedding on Saturday for two very, very close friends. Shout out Claire and Tanner.
Shout out. Congrats.
I lived with Claire in college, and Tanner was like one of my good guy friends and like my group of guy friends. And my worlds collided while I went abroad and came back, and they were in a full-fledged relationship. And they're an amazing couple and just so beautiful. I'm gonna like get teary-eyed. It was such a special day. It was a very intimate wedding. I mean, it was like 100-ish people. And I think it's just because you and I have gone to some like really big weddings that feels pretty intimate for me.
Uh-huh.
But it was in this flower farm out in Stillwater. And it was like very fairy garden vibes. I'll send you pictures. But it was absolutely stunning. And they're just such great people. So like the speeches were just so great. And
gosh, that was so much fun. Dream.
Yeah, it was very lovely. So that was super fun. I got to see some like college friends who I haven't seen / who live far away. And I've met like a lot of Claire's friends through her like bachelorette party and just throughout the years. And she just like has really great friends from all walks of life. So it was a really good time. And then I got up Sunday morning early and drove to my cabin, got that toasted vanilla oat milkshake and espresso at Starbucks and hit the road.
Do you like the toasted vanilla or the brown sugar better?
I've never had the brown sugar, but I just love vanilla so much that I feel like I would like this one better anyway.
Brown sugar is really good. I almost always get the brown sugar. So when we go next time, I'll get the brown sugar and you can try a sip of mine.
Okay. I did get my first pumpkin cream cold brew on Friday.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
I'm not really a pumpkin girly.
But you like PSLs.
More for like the aesthetic.
Okay. I'm not really a pumpkin girly either, but have you had the pumpkin cream cold brew?
Yeah, I have.
Oh, okay. I really like it.
I think I don't like it because I remember, I think it was like 2 or 3 years ago when you were living off of Selby, you made it homemade.
Oh.
Didn't you? The pumpkin cold brew?
Yeah, I have made it homemade.
Yeah, and I got inspired to make it homemade. And then I don't know, like the pumpkin puree, like I think I put too much of it in there and it scared me. And I feel like I kind of overdosed on pumpkin puree.
I don't actually, when I make it now, I use pumpkin extract.
Okay, that would be a lot better because I didn't like the puree. I mean, I know like people put that kind of stuff in like cooking and like pies, but like, I don't like pumpkin pie
me neither. Yeah, so I just got extract. So if you're wanting to dabble in it again, maybe that option.
I will.
But yeah, nothing crazy at the cabin. You know, we took all the boats out. We're kind of putting everything away because my mom's going back to Reno for the off season. And we just like don't really come up in the falls and winters now that my parents don't live here. So it's like kind of sad, but
yeah, I feel like most people in Minnesota put away their boats Labor Day weekend or shortly after.
Yeah. But yeah, the weather was beautiful. Like beautiful.
So nice. It was just like a beautiful 70 degrees. Like not too hot. Just amazing.
Sunny, minimal clouds.
Yeah, it was perfect.
Yeah. How was your weekend? How was your fam?
It was fantastic. Friday night, Zach, or actually Friday morning, Zach and I drove out to my family's cabin and we worked from my family's cabin, which was kind of
Oh,
fun.
nice.
And then we went and got dinner and wine at Burr Winery, Burr
I saw
Vineyard.
that.
So good. And then we actually went to a different winery, Carlos Creek Winery, to see Becca, who is my lifelong childhood friend. So she's my childhood best friend, like my oldest and best friend. And she is home from Australia right now. She actually met her husband in Australia and they have a kid, Kip, who's about one. And
And
they
they live
all,
there.
yeah, the three of them live in Australia, Cam, Kip, and Becca. And they have been in Australia. Well, Becca hasn't come home since COVID. So it's been, and she didn't come home. I think it was encroaching a year right before COVID hit. So she hasn't come home in 3 years. So we're all so excited to see her. So Zach and I went to Carlos where her and her family were. And I was like, oh my gosh, we hugged each other. I'm like, this is kind of weird. You're in person.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then I got to meet her son, Kip, who is literally just the cutest little button in the world. Oh
He's
my
so
gosh.
cute.
And so fearless and just like does not have an off switch. Like he will just like run full force, face plant into the grass, and then get up and say more.
Again.
Again. Yeah, exactly. So that was so fun. The next day, Zach had to leave because he went to a friend's wedding and I stayed to spend time with Becca and her family. So then the next day, we just, spent some more time together. Super fun. And then Sunday, we went to her family's house and they threw like kind of like a welcome home wedding reception. Congrats on
Come
your
see
beautiful family
Becca.
party.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where it was both sides of her family and then my family were invited. So it was just like immediate family plus the Januskas because we're very close with them.
Yeah.
So fun. So it was just like a big
Love that.
celebration for them. And it was amazing.
Did they host that at their lakefront property
No, they
or at their
hosted at their
house?
house,
Nice.
and my dad made wood-fired pizzas, which he was
Of
like
course.
very proud of, and they were
Yeah.
actually bomb. So he did have a lot to be proud of. And yeah, it was just great. I'm so happy to see their little family. I love them so much.
Yeah.
It's just so fun to see them in person.
They seem really happy, and I'm sure it was really exciting for Becca to see your siblings and her nieces and nephews that she hasn't
Yeah.
like spent hasn't even met her
Right.
niece.
And my
I don't know.
sister was like, hey, or she was like, is it weird seeing Becca as a mom? I'm like, it's not weird seeing Becca as a mom because I've been talking with her this last year, like
Yeah.
through WhatsApp and FaceTime and whatever. And like, she's been a mom. So it's not weird to see her be a mom. It's just cool to see how good of a mom she is because now I
Yeah.
see her interact with Kip and like, oh,
Yeah.
she's such a good mom and Cam's such a good dad. And it's just so sweet.
Cute.
I love their little family.
So Kip's probably not talking that much, but I was just curious if he has like an Australian accent.
No,
But he probably will, right?
he does have an Australian accent. It's really cute. So he's not saying a ton of words, but like he'll drop something and say, "Oh dear."
Oh my
Or
gosh. That's the cutest thing I've ever heard.
he'll say like "more" because he'll like
Yeah.
Becca kissed him on the forehead, and then he looked at me and said "more" because he wanted me to kiss him on the forehead too. Broke my heart into a million pieces.
That's so sweet. Genevieve isn't saying like full sentences, but she'll say phrases and she'll say more as well. But it'll be like for really funny things. Like, I pushed Otto off the dock yesterday because he was like whining and wanted to so
She
bad.
pushed the family dog off the dock, and
Yeah.
she's talking about her niece,
And
Genevieve,
Genevieve just laughs and then goes more. And she knows sign language too, so
right
she'll do the sign language and say more. And I'm like, I can't keep pushing Otto off the
now.
dock just for your entertainment.
That's
But
hilarious.
yeah.
Yeah,
Oh,
and
that's
along
so
with
funny.
accents, so Becca's been in Australia for like 4 years now, essentially straight. And she does have like a weird mix of like American slash Australian accent because she's only
Really?
around Australians.
Yeah, and you probably pick up on slang and stuff too
Yeah.
that you just
Oh,
use
yeah.
and
And like when we were first like FaceTiming or whatever, calling each other when she was there, I would just like notice the phrases she was saying, like, oh yeah, I'm pretty keen on this, or you know, whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
But then as it went on, it was like a lot thicker. So like when she came home, everybody was like, oh my God, you have an accent.
Is that like possible?
For sure.
I mean, obviously.
Yeah.
I feel like I would try to keep not having an accent because it's like everyone would then talk to me about my American accent because I wasn't
According to Becca, it's a little bit embarrassing to be from America. Like, that's nobody fair. Likes Americans in Australia. So she
You're
says
so
she's
right.
She says she's from Canada.
Shut up. Pretty much, anyway.
Yeah. I mean, essentially. So, yeah.
Oh, that's so funny.
Yeah. So then today I came home and I was away from my new house for 3 days and I was like, oh my God. So I wanted to do a bunch of things and I found this amazing table on Facebook Marketplace to go outdoors on our patio with tableless chairs. And Zach's like one stipulation is they have to be like the swivel chairs that you can kind of rock back and forth on. So I was like scouring Facebook Marketplace for these swivel chairs and like a nice table that didn't look gross or whatever. I finally found one. Like, oh my gosh, yes. So I went and got it today. And it's perfect. It's everything I imagined and more. And it's perfectly in time for my little soiree that's happening next week, which is soiree. Yeah. The definition is like a small party or gathering. And that's what will be happening. I'll have a small...
It's a housewarming soiree.
Yeah, housewarming soiree.
Yeah, that'll be so fun. Oh, also, we went to the fair.
Oh my gosh, yeah, we have the whole fair to talk about. Okay, so we went to the Minnesota State Fair with some friends of ours. And
Aaron, Hannah, Sarah, you know who you are.
Shout out. Let's go through and list everything that we got to eat.
Okay.
Okay, so starting with cheesecake on a stick. What would you rate it?
Well, we got frozen chocolate covered banana on a stick and then cheesecake on a stick.
Frozen chocolate covered banana stick, 0 out of 5. I didn't like that.
Oh, we're out of 5? Okay.
What do you want to be out of?
10.
Okay, 0 out of 10.
I feel like the banana on the stick was like a 7 out of 10, like very generic frozen banana on a stick. Good, but
I don't like the texture of bananas, let alone frozen bananas. So
Okay. Cheesecake. Like
cheesecake on a stick.
Like 10 out of 10. Holy crap. Like, yeah. I just didn't think that dipping it in chocolate could elevate cheesecake that much. Like, I do like cheesecake. I'm not like obsessed, but then they dipped in sprinkles too. I don't know. It was so good.
Yeah. For me, that was a 8.5 out of 10. It was really, really good. But just like in comparison to some of the other food, I can't give it a 10 out of 10.
Okay. I'll give it a 9 out of 10.
Okay.
But it was like better than, I don't know.
No, it was,
I didn't know, be elevated.
It was unexpectedly good.
Yeah. Okay, then we got cheese curds, I think.
Cheese curds, yeah, from the...
Mouse trap.
Yeah, you have to get it from the mouse trap, otherwise it's trash. And I mean, that was a 9.5 out of 10.
Yeah, like cheese curds are just like, I have to get them. They're a staple of the fair.
But these cheese curds, you don't need dipping sauce. Like they're just good alone.
Don't even try. Which, they don't even offer.
Yeah, they don't even offer dipping sauce because they're just that good. Yeah. So yeah, 9.5 out of 10 for that for me.
Okay, then we wanted some beverages. So which we didn't get any alcoholic beverages actually, which I wanted to try some slushies, but I didn't even like really see any.
Yeah.
We're just so focused on the food.
Not the vibe of our night because we were just like really let's get in, get the food, get out. We weren't like lounging or relaxing, which is kind of times that you'd pick up a beer there.
And it was after work. It was a weekday. Anyway, so we stopped at the stand that was like fresh fruit smoothies, juices, lemonades, grilled peaches and ice cream. Yeah. So we're like, oh my God, Aaron, your sister was like, I want a juice. And I'm like, well, I really want a lemonade. This is great. Like, let's go. Literally poured their quote unquote fresh squeezed juice out of a plastic bottle that was clearly store-bought.
Yeah. Same with the Did you say that
the lemonade?
The lemonade was out of a packet. The juice was out of a store-bought container.
Yeah.
Dead. Literally so, dead.
So like, was the lemonade good? Yeah.
We did have, like, Sophie and I got watermelon lemonade, and I will rate it a 2 out of 10. It gets a few points for taste, but a lot of deductions for false advertisement.
Yeah. Like, I was just kind of pissed. I'm like, you can't, like, advertise this.
No.
Like this. And then, I don't know. I was so annoyed.
Yeah. So that was a little hiccup. But then, what did we get after that? Was that the deep fried Oreos? Or pizza?
Yeah. No. Yeah. Pizza was next.
Okay. So we got the famous pizza. Oh my gosh. Pizza. We got the famous pickle pizza from Rick's Pizza. It's a new vendor this year at the Minnesota State Fair. And it is so fucking good. Excuse my French.
Is that your 10 out of 10?
That is an 11 out of 10 for me. It was so good. It had creamy garlic dill sauce with cheese and dill pickles
and fresh dill
seasoned on top. And it was literally the best pizza I've ever had in my life.
And there had to have been some like garlic salt on there too. It was very good. I would rate it like, I don't know if I was so full because I had so many cheese curds. Like, it was still really good, but I'd already had like so much rich savory. But I would still rate it like an 8.5 out of 10.
Oh my God. I can't believe you aren't on the same page as me. Wow. Okay. Yeah.
Worth the wait getting.
Totally worth the wait. Some people waited in line for over an hour. We found like a little gap in the line. Well, we didn't butt, but like there was like a shorter line on the back end that took us 20 minutes to get through, but I would have waited an hour, hands down. So good.
If you even remotely enjoy pickles.
Yeah, because I'm not a big pickle girly. Like, I like pickles, but I wouldn't say I'm obsessed with pickles.
Yeah, you're not like, oh, I just grab pickles out of a jar all the time.
Right.
Yeah.
So yeah, literally the best thing I've ever had. And then after that, we had deep fried Oreos. Really good.
Yep. Really good. That was actually my first time having deep fried Oreos. Oh, really? Very good.
I would say 8 out of 10. Really good.
Yeah, 8 out of 10.
We had Dasani water.
0 out of 10.
3 out of 10.
1 out of 10 because it quenched my thirst.
3 out of 10 because I was really, really, really thirsty. So it gets 3 points for quenching my thirst. No, it gets 5 points for quenching my thirst. And then minus 2 for being Dasani, which tastes bad.
Yeah. And being in a plastic water bottle.
Yeah.
Are bad. But options are limited at the fair. And I never remember that you can bring your water bottle in. I need to remember that next year.
Yeah. Okay. And then after that, we saw the giant slide. And I was like, we're going on this. You're coming on this with me. So our friends were like, okay, well, while you guys go on the slide, we'll go get Martha's cookies. No. You think we're going on the slide to go on the slide? You need to watch us go down the slide.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So we made them stay and watch us go down the slide, and we held hands, and we have a video of it that we will post to our Instagram.
Super fun.
So then we went, what did we do? We did like
then we got corn.
Oh yeah, we got corn. Oh my gosh. It's so cold. We got corn, fresh grilled corn. Great.
It has the juice.
I mean, I would rate the slide 10 out of 10. I would rate the corn 9 out of 10. Really good.
The corn was really stinking good. Slide 8.5 out of 10. Corn 9 out of 10.
You were surprised with how fun the slide was.
Yeah.
It was thrilling.
Mm-hmm.
And I like how we did that after I was just talking about rides malfunctioning at the state.
Yeah. Last but episode. I mean, the slide is
well,
like...
and then after that, we went on this. Like, it's like a ski lift that takes you across the fair to like a different point. And it's basically just like a ski lift, but on fairgrounds.
Yeah.
We went on that. And there was a second where.
Again, just me and Jenna.
Yeah. There was a second where like it was silent. Like nobody was saying anything. And then I turned to Sophie. I'm like, I'm kind of scared of heights. And she was like, me too.
But I was like, I really want to do this. I really want to do this. I made Jenna go on with me. And then we were just like silent for the first like 2 minutes. It was just like kind of touch and go. And it kind of stopped a couple times. And well, like Jenna,
we were going up. So yeah. It felt like it was taking a lot of momentum for us to go up. Yeah. And I was honestly thinking about the story that I told last week. I was like,
oh, same.
Why are we doing this? Even though it wasn't like a thrill ride whatsoever. I was like, oh my gosh. Anyways, we made it. And then we got Martha's cookies, which are an absolute staple at the state fair. Just like fresh cookies in a bucket. Whole loaded bucket on top. Amazing. I mean, Martha's cookies will always be a 10 out of 10 in my book because it always
I've had them when they were gooier. So maybe they had already been holding on to them for a little bit.
Or maybe they overbaked them. But
yeah. So those specific Martha's cookies I'm rating as an 8 out of 10. But usually, they're like 10 out of 10.
Yeah. Yeah. So overall, solid night. I wouldn't be like a fair stan. Like I'm normally not like, I love the Minnesota State Fair. I had a blast. I loved it. I had so much fun.
I actually would have liked to go again just to then do some of the inside things. Like I like looking at the animals. I like seeing like the foods that win, like the agriculture building.
Yeah, we kind of had limited time because it was an after work event, but it inspired me to make more time for it next year.
Yeah, like maybe a weekend day, which is so hard to work around. But yeah, it was a good time.
Yeah.
But now it's over.
So now fall's en route. And with that, should we get into the stories?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, girl. Beat. I'm horrible.
Yep. You're the worst.
I am. Okay, so my sources this week are biography.com, and webmd.com, and wikipedia.com.
Great.
Or .org.
Great.
.com. I can't remember.
.org.
So I'm doing mine on the story of Gypsy Rose Blanchard and Dee Dee Blanchard.
Oh my goodness.
I know. I kind of forgot about this.
Yeah.
Like it came to me this weekend and I was like, that story's nuts.
So sad.
Okay. So Gypsy Rose Blanchard was born on July 27th, 1991, to Dee Dee and Rod Blanchard, who actually separated shortly before Gypsy's birth. And Gypsy was actually still a baby when her mom first kind of self-diagnosed her with sleep apnea. So she spent many nights in the hospital with Dee Dee bringing her in, being very concerned about her sleep. Ultimately, the doctors like never really found anything to be true about that. Mm-hmm. But these false claims were just the beginning of Gypsy's false claims of diseases and illnesses made by her mom. And throughout Gypsy's childhood, she would be diagnosed by her mother to have seizures, asthma, hearing visual impairments, leukemia, and just a number of other issues. And because of these claims and actions by Dee Dee, Gypsy was prescribed a long list of medications and for most of her like childhood would sleep using a breathing machine. She would also go on to have multiple surgeries, including procedures on her eyes and removal of her salivary glands.
Okay.
For no reason, these things were happening. And at one point, Gypsy's teeth actually like rotted from what probably is the amount of medication she was taking, the removal of her salivary glands. So they were just like pulled out.
I don't get, maybe you'll get into this. How do, like this mom is making all of this stuff up about her daughter. Mm-hmm. Like how do doctors like go so far as to perform surgery on her?
Right. I get into it a little bit.
Okay.
But yeah. So, and Gypsy also from like a pretty young age was wheelchair bound. Her mom had her in a wheelchair, said she couldn't walk very well. And yeah, but essentially, Gypsy was actually fully capable of walking on her own, eating normal foods without assistance, and she did not have cancer. Her mom, Gypsy was bald, not from chemo treatments, but because her mom would shave her head. So it appeared that Gypsy had cancer because she was like in a wheelchair and she didn't have hair. Like,
chemo treatments?
I don't think she was actually getting chemo treatments.
Okay.
Maybe like some, I know you can take like oral chemo pills.
Yeah.
But her like hair loss was all because her mom was trying to get the facade of her suffering from cancer.
Wow.
And Gypsy doesn't know any better. Like, she's young. Like, she doesn't know that right. Like, you have that's to do this life. To lose hair. Like, she just is like, oh, my hair is gone. So experts believe that Dee Dee suffered from a mental illness known as Munchausen syndrome by proxy, or also known as Munchausen by proxy, which is described as a psychological disorder marked by attention-seeking behavior by a caregiver through those who are in their care. So Dee Dee, the mom, suffers from Munchausen by proxy.
Right.
So she is the caretaker of Gypsy and is essentially making up illnesses and diseases that Gypsy suffers from.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Oh yeah. So Dee Dee was able to get away with Gypsy getting treatment to all of these said illnesses because they would go see doctors. And as soon as a doctor would start questioning anything, Dee Dee would not see that doctor again and go see a new doctor. Mm-hmm. So I think there was just like a lot of bouncing around
mm-hmm.
and she was very convincing. Dee Dee also had like some healthcare/nursing training. I don't think she was like ever a full nurse, but I don't know if growing up she had some exposure to that. So she was able to accurately describe Gypsy's symptoms so that doctors would be like, oh yeah, she probably does have that. And oftentimes Gypsy like wouldn't talk during these appointments or with doctors because Dee Dee was telling her not to talk, but then right. She was telling the doctors that Gypsy was like very behind intellectually and developmentally delayed. So they just right. were like, oh, okay. They didn't like think they had to really dig into Gypsy. So Dee Dee even had Gypsy's father, Rod, convinced that Gypsy suffered from all of these things. And when she told Rod that Gypsy suffered from a chromosomal disorder that led to these many health issues, Rod actually praised Dee Dee for her devoted care to their daughter. And when Dee Dee's family started to notice things like weren't really adding up or questioning her, Gypsy and Dee Dee actually just like moved away from family. So they were living in Louisiana and then moved to Missouri. And I didn't like write down a ton of things about Rod and Dee Dee, but essentially Dee Dee was, and I can't remember Dee Dee's full name, but Dee Dee was her nickname. She was 24 and Rod was like 19 or something when Dee Dee got pregnant. So they kind of had like a shotgun wedding, and then Rod felt like he got married for the wrong reason. So that's why they like separated so quickly and
mm-hmm.
didn't end up together. And Dee Dee said that Rod was like a deadbeat drug addict who wasn't involved, and he actually like helped with child support and helped with finances for Gypsy. He just like didn't house her, you know, but
right.
he wasn't like a deadbeat dad.
He was somewhat involved.
He was somewhat involved, but like you can obviously probably guess that Dee Dee would never have let Gypsy not stay with her.
Like, right. Yeah. Because then she'll start to realize like, oh, I can walk.
Yep. So Dee Dee eventually claimed to be a victim of Hurricane Katrina so that she and Gypsy received assistance to relocate from Louisiana to Missouri in 2005. And there was actually a house built for them by Habitat for Humanity. And Hurricane Katrina was also used as an excuse by Dee Dee as to why Gypsy had missing medical files. And then they were essentially like able to start over again with new doctors saying like, you know, she's diagnosed with this, this, and this, like, we don't have these medical files because of Hurricane Katrina. And like, they just believed her, which I'm sure was actually crazy. The case for a lot of people. Like,
yeah,
true.
Yeah.
But
also crazy that it's not like digitally stored.
Yeah, like, I mean, this is early 2000s, so I wonder if that was like
it newer. Might not have been a thing then.
Or yeah, or if it was like harder to transfer between systems.
Yeah.
I don't know. So beyond moving and housing assistance, Gypsy and Dee Dee also received charity sponsored visits to concerts in Disney World. So they just like, I think that was like part of Make-A-Wish Foundation. Like they just benefited from all these things because of Hurricane Katrina, quote unquote, and then Gypsy's illnesses.
Right.
So when Gypsy was 14, she saw a new neurologist in Missouri who actually had an inkling that Gypsy was maybe a victim of Munchausen by proxy syndrome, but he never reported the case to authorities because he didn't think there was actually enough evidence. So that's so interesting because Munchausen by proxy is a super rare disorder. Right. And I'm sure it is also very hard to prove.
Yeah. Oh, that's hard, but you just wish.
I know.
Done some intervention.
Mm-hmm. And then in 2009, an anonymous report was made to authorities that Dee Dee was lying about Gypsy's medical conditions, and two caseworkers actually visited their home, but Dee Dee was able to convince them that nothing was wrong. So like Dee Dee came off as like a very doting, loving mother. Her and Gypsy were very close. Gypsy was, you know, a teenager at this time, but kind of acted younger because she was being controlled by Dee Dee and also just like wasn't exposed to things. So right. I think they came off as like a very cute, sweet, wholesome mother-daughter relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like so hard because of course you don't want to like tell someone like, oh, your daughter is not sick, you know?
Right.
But the older Gypsy got, the more Dee Dee lied about her age. So like I said, and she even went as far to change to alter Gypsy's birth date on her birth certificate as a way to seem younger. I think this also was like a ploy for her not to like reach legal age so that she could stay in the care of Dee Dee.
That's messed up.
Yeah. But Gypsy Rose eventually got to a point where she was starting to catch on to her mother's actions. You know, she realized she could walk and she could do things, and she was questioning their relationship and the sincerity of her mother. And in 2011,
was she going to school?
No, she was homeschooled.
Oh, she was homeschooled. Oh my gosh.
But like, I don't really know how, you know, strict that was because had quote unquote low intelligence. So like maybe she didn't have to follow.
Right. No, that makes sense.
Yeah. But yeah, so Gypsy ran away in 2011 with a man that she met at a science fiction convention. And Gypsy was 19 at the time. But Dee Dee was ultimately able to get Gypsy to move back, to come back home after convincing this man that Dee Dee was underage, or that Gypsy was underage, even though she wasn't.
Mm.
And just kind of like manipulated the situation. And according to Gypsy Rose, Dee Dee had smashed her computer and physically restrained her to her bed once she returned home after she ran away.
Because that's how she was finding out a lot of this stuff, right? Like she was like finding out on her computer and chat rooms and whatever. Yep.
Yeah. Sorry, Holly's snoring. I don't know if you can hear that.
I did hear it.
Okay, I think she's done now. Yeah, and then Gypsy also claimed just like, over the course of her life that her mom would hit her and often deny her food. But obviously abuse was going on.
Yeah.
Whether it was like full on intentional. So
well, it was, Gypsy was able to, but like physical. Like
Yeah. It was a non-conventional form of abuse in some ways, probably.
Mm-hmm.
But so Gypsy was able to get back online eventually, and then she actually met another man by the name of Nicholas Godijan. I don't know. I'll refer to him as Nicholas. So she confided in him the truth about her mother and kind of like how she felt like her mom was lying to her and, you know, she could actually walk and yada, yada, yada. And the two eventually plotted to kill Dee Dee. So they conspired together to kill Gypsy's mom. And in June of 2015, so Gypsy is now 23 years old, Nicholas came to their house and actually stabbed Dee Dee while Gypsy hid in the bathroom. The two of them then fled to Nicholas's home in Wisconsin, where they were eventually found by police. And when Gypsy was questioned about the severity of the revenge taken on her mother, she said, quote, "I couldn't just jump out of the wheelchair because I was afraid and I didn't know what my mother would do. I didn't have anyone to trust," unquote, which I feel like is so fair.
Yeah.
I mean, well, okay, so this thinking, this like thought process by Gypsy was like somewhat supported. Now, I'm not saying like, yeah, that totally makes sense that she conspired to kill her mom, but it was somewhat supported by medical opinion. Dr. Mark Feldman, an expert on Munchausen syndrome by proxy, said in regards to Gypsy's life and actions, quote, "The control was total in the same sense that the control of a kidnapped victim sometimes is total. Her daughter was, in essence, a hostage, and I think we can understand the crime that occurred subsequently in terms of a hostage trying to gain escape." So I think that just like puts it in perspective that so many things about Gypsy's life was like against her will.
Yeah, her mom was abusive and controlling and
manipulative.
Literally lied to her entire life.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's like, oh, I don't know. I don't ever think it's okay to take the life of somebody, but I can understand why Gypsy
was kind of led
her only way out.
Yeah, yeah. Led to believe this was the only answer.
Yeah.
So Gypsy spent her entire life being controlled and monitored by her mother. She didn't go to school, and even though she was of normal intelligence, Dee Dee told everyone she had a mental age of 7. And she also frequently silenced Gypsy out in public, like I had mentioned earlier. But Gypsy ultimately took a plea deal in the murder of her mother. And in 2016, she pled guilty to second degree murder, where she was sentenced to 10 years in prison. And she's actually eligible for parole in 2024. So that's coming up. Nicholas, the boyfriend, was found guilty of first degree murder in 2018 and was sentenced to life in prison. Today, Gypsy is healthy and she claims to enjoy more freedom in prison than in the life she shared with her mother. So like, I think she's actually really enjoying life right now, which is like really telling about her situation growing up.
Do you know why?
Like, you're free in prison.
Yeah. Do you know why Nick got charged with first degree murder while she got charged with second degree murder? Because he actually did it. Oh, I see.
Yeah. And I think she entered a plea deal. I think he pled not guilty or something.
Got it.
Where she pled guilty.
Yeah, her story.
But he did it, yeah.
Heartbreaking.
Mm-hmm.
And she's a victim, in my opinion.
Yes.
Through and through.
Yeah. I'm trying to look up the show.
Yes.
What it's called on Hulu.
You watch it?
The Act. That's what it's called. Yeah. I did. It's like a short series. Very, very good. You can learn a lot more about it. And the acting is really great. Joey King does a really good job. She plays Gypsy Rose. Yeah, that story has so many layers because it's like...
So many layers.
You think it's just a story about Munchausen by proxy and then it turns into full-on murder.
Right. Just like,
so
wild.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, that's the story.
It makes me question like how much influence a parent can have in the medical system, which is like good or bad. Like advocating for their kids is great, but then which is probably really rare, but like that doctor that noticed, it's like, oh, I just wish something could have been done and like all this could have been avoided.
Yeah. For sure. I am assuming that, or I'm hoping that like medical records and stuff are much better kept and much better transferred between systems. And hopefully stuff like that doesn't fall through the cracks. And yeah, people are questioned more. I don't think our healthcare, that's a whole other topic.
Yeah.
I think our healthcare system could do a lot of work, could use a lot of work. But I'd like to hope cases like this, which are already rare to begin with, but can't really get very far through the system.
Right. But like you think about their case and it's like, that's in our generation. Like It doesn't, it's not that long ago. Like,
no.
Gypsy's like our age.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. Wow. Well, thank you for sharing. I love that you take on those popular and heavy stories because sometimes I don't want to do the research. Yeah. So I appreciate you taking those on.
Of course.
All right. Cool. I am going to get into our little palate cleanser happy story. And this is a scientific study on how dogs stole our heart as humans.
Stop. Stop that. I'm going to cry. I'm having an emotional weekend.
Like good and bad emotions or like ups and downs?
Like sweet. Oh. Like I cried like 4 times at the wedding because it was so sweet.
All right, my source is science.org. And I'll just get into it now, but the main gist of the story is that canines make humans produce more trust hormones, quote unquote, and vice versa. So, yes, it's like a complementary thing. So if you think of your dog as a fur baby, science has your back. Research shows that when our dog pals stare into our eyes, they activate the same hormonal response that bonds us to infant humans.
Wow.
Yes. There was a study done that shows that this hormonal bonding effect between humans and dogs doesn't happen between any other species. And it may explain why dogs became our company or became our companions over thousands of years. Brian Hare.
So dogs are better than cats.
I suppose.
can't confirm or deny.
The study doesn't get into cats, but it's kind of alluding to that.
Okay.
Brian Hare is an expert on canine cognition and said it's an incredible finding that suggests that dogs have hijacked our human bonding system. Hare says that the discovery might lead to a better understanding of why service dogs are so helpful for people with autism and post-traumatic stress disorder.
Mm.
So as we know, dogs are already renowned for their ability to interact with humans. You know, it seems like dogs understand us in a way that no other dogs do.
And they have like a sixth sense.
Right. Like
especially like those service animals.
Yes, exactly. So people and dogs look into each other's eyes while interacting. And this is a sign of understanding and affection that even dogs' closest relatives, wolves, interpret as hostility. Like looking a wolf in the eye is like a no-no. Hostile. Looking dogs in the eyes is a sign of affection.
Love.
It was this mutual gazing that piqued the interest of Takufumi Kikusui, who is an animal behaviorist at Azubi University in Japan.
Okay.
Kikusui's lab studies oxytocin, which is a hormone that plays a role in maternal bonding, trust, and altruism. So they did a study and found that not the study with dogs, but this is a study with babies. So, yes, when a mother stares into her baby's eyes, the baby's oxytocin levels rise, which cause the infant to stare back into the mother's eyes, which causes the mother to release more oxytocin and so on. So like the more you stare, the more it's released on both ends for a baby and a mother.
That's so fascinating.
Right. Yeah. So this positive feedback loop creates a strong emotional bond between a mother and child when the baby can't express itself in other ways. Kikusui and his colleagues convinced 30 of their friends and neighbors to bring their pets into his lab, and they found people who were also raising wolves as pets as compared. Oh,
okay.
Which is crazy. That's a whole nother story.
Holly has some wolf in her.
No way.
Mm-hmm.
Cutie. So when each owner brought his or her animal into the lab, the research collected urine from each participant, both dog and human.
Okay.
Asked the owners to interact with their animal in a room together for 30 minutes. During this time, owners typically petted their animals and talked to them. Dogs and their owners also gazed into each other's eyes, some for a total of a couple minutes and some just a few seconds. So the wolves, not surprisingly, didn't make much eye contact with their owners, and after time was up, the team took urine samples again.
Mm.
Mutual gazing had a profound effect on both the dogs and their owners. Of the duos that spent the greatest amount of time looking into each other's eyes, in both male and female dogs, they experienced a 130% rise in oxytocin levels. And both male and female owners also had a 300% increase in oxytocin levels.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Aww.
And no oxytocin increase was found in owners that spent little time gazing at each other and at with the wolf duos.
Got it.
So the study shows, and the researchers believe, that this positive feedback loop of staring into each other's eyes must have played a critical role in dog domestication. So yeah. As wolves were morphing into dogs, only those that could bond with humans would have received that care and protection that humans can give them.
Yeah.
Humans themselves may have also evolved the ability to reciprocate, which is, you know, similar to the maternal feedback loop that moms typically have with their babies. So Kikusui suggests that because oxytocin decreases anxiety, like that hormone decreases anxiety, the adaption may have been important for human survival as well, because if humans are less stressed out, it's better for their health. And that's why you typically feel better with your dog around. Because it releases oxytocin.
Heck yeah.
Mutual gazing also doesn't happen in a vacuum. You know, most dogs associate good behavior with food and playing. So those can also boost oxytocin levels. But, you know, the direct eye contact was clear because there was owners that played with their dogs, but they didn't have direct eye contact and the levels didn't increase.
Yeah.
So that's the end.
So science.
So that's it. Science is cool. I love dogs.
That's so sweet. I will say Holly like diverts eye contact with me when she's like cuddling with me, which I think is kind of a superiority. Like I've read that it's like, you're my superior, I'm honoring you. But yeah, I feel like for the most part, the like, gaze connection is there.
Kona will like go to the bathroom and stare at me.
Yeah.
I'm like, now I get why she's doing it. She trusts.
Well, yeah, like I'll be working on my computer and Holly will just be like staring at me. I'm like, I see you. I can feel you. Thank you. I don't have time to look at you right now.
I love you. Here's a glance.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like, so I like make Kona give me like direct eye contact before I feed her, or like doing tricks with her and all of that. So I didn't understand like the importance of it, I guess. So
yeah,
I'm going to continue to do that and I'm going to try to incorporate it more.
Very cool. I love that.
Yeah.
I feel like I knew there was like some scientific reasoning behind like a connection with pets, but it's cool to like know exactly where it stems from or like the thought behind it.
Yes. It's very cool. All right. Well, that's it for us this week, ladies and gents and everyone else. We would love if you rated, reviewed, and subscribed. If you didn't already, tell a friend. That's how other people find out about podcasts. You know, slip it into your conversation. That's your task for the week.
It's your homework.
We love you. Have a great rest of your week and stay happy.
As happy as you can be.
Bye.